If you have your Bibles, take them. If you could turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And as you're turning, if you could stand in the honor of reading God's Word. Last week I started a message, True Spiritual Service. I want to continue with that thought this morning. And we're going to start in verse 8, True Spiritual Service. We'll start reading in verse 8. As Paul writes to the Romans, he says, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you speak to our hearts through this portion of Scripture. We thank you again for this precious book and the man that is guided by the Spirit of God to pen these words where we have them today. So I pray, God, that you would, again, penetrate those areas of our lives that need this morning. And we all need what you have for us in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Some have called the book of the Epistle of Romans the Christian Constitution. The key verse to our thought last week and this week is in verse 9, saying, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Now, remember last week we looked at the word serve, and it comes from the Greek word latruo. And latruo. And it means to serve or to worship. You know, to serve God is to worship God. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. This service comes from within. It is not superficial. It is not shallow. It is not to be so much external, and is not to be liturgical or religious. It's not formal. It's not devoted to a set of principles or creeds. But it is of the inner man, of the heart, serving from the heart. Now, again, remember the word grace. Grace is God himself who works in upon the heart, that we work out into our life what he has worked into our heart. And that is called grace. And it also gives the idea of someone who has gratitude towards God. This was a characteristic that Paul had all through his ministry, that he served from his heart. I mean, before he was saved, he was a fire-breathing religious man without the Spirit of God, and people died. People were thrown in prison. When he came into town, people scattered. And even when he was brought to the church of Jerusalem, people were jumping out windows. They were getting away from this guy because they knew him. But when he got saved, he was a new man from the inside out. In John chapter 4, verse 23 through 26, we won't go there, but if you read it, we cannot worship God with externals. The worship of God is a very internal thing. It is from the heart. All the religious routine that we can have, and even here in this church, we can become so routine and so mechanical that the worship of God is missed. We can sing the songs and not even know what we sang. Now, yesterday, for the funeral, they wanted to have others sung. That was one of Brother Bynum's favorite songs. I'd never heard it before. And so I tried to learn that song and got in here with Miss Dean and went over and over and over and over that song. And then when I got up to do it, I destroyed it. You know, but I'll tell you one thing about that song. It is a very good song. The words of that song are absolutely tremendous. And, you can't get away from the words of these songs. I remember a woman said to me, is how many people will get up in church and lie their teeth off while they're singing hymns? And I'm thinking like, ooh, guilty. We sing the songs and don't realize that there is something within they're full of doctrine, they're full of truths, and this is how we worship from the heart. And if one doesn't worship from the heart, one doesn't worship God at all. Because when he comes into us, when we repent of our sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and lives within us, and when we worship from that place to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is not something that is external. We are either true or we are liars. There's no in between. There'd be a lot happier and healthier marriages if each, the husband and wife, would actually surrender to each other. But you know something? We're so full of our own will, aren't we? We are willful people. And how many people will not even surrender to God himself? For just a moment, turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1. Paul wrote the Ephesians and says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Have you ever seen a parent provoke their children to the point they were so angry that you'd be surprised they came from that? You know, a lot of things go on behind closed doors. It's just sad. But let me go on. He says in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. As you notice, as I've mentioned before, time and time again, when you go through the Word of God, you're always seeing in. Why? Because our faith is an inward faith. Because our faith, this is where the Lord lives within. And so when we take the Word of God, it's not only just supposed to go from our eye gate into our minds, but allow that to get down into our hearts, allow God to work that within us, and then work these things out into our life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says pretty much the same thing. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but, man, every time you see that word but, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why the mind? Because God will take what you have in your mind, work this thing out into our heart, and He will change the way we think. And prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not our will. Our will is not perfect. His will is. There are many people who serve God out of many reasons. There are people who serve God for money. I think of George Mueller. His father wanted him to become a Lutheran pastor. And he says, why? He says, because you're too lazy to do anything else. You know, at least you'd be able to survive. And which he did not become a Lutheran pastor. He ended up in jail as a thief, you know. And but he got out, and the Lord certainly changed that man, George Mueller of Bristol. But Paul was not about that. He was not, you know, that he was worth so much, more than he was worth his weight in gold to have this man around. And not just because of who he was, but who his Savior is. And he was an individual who desired to do the will of God with the heart. And so when he came in and he spoke to you, have you ever met someone who talked to you and you knew there was something different about that guy? There was someone within him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who just seemed to speak to your heart. I met tremendous people like that. And Acts 20, verse 35, talks about the will. You know, there was a study done, a secular study, on not only long life, but what is it where a person can have not only a long life, and, you know, I'm not thinking so much of how many years you live, but it is the quality of your life. You know what I mean? The quality of your life. The joy of your life. You know, of having a joyous life and a satisfying life and a stress-free life. There was one thing that stood out from all the other characteristics. There was one thing that was in all of them, and it was giving. And you say, oh, was this a giving sermon? No, what I'm talking about is not, it's giving of yourself to God and God giving Himself to you. And I tell you, when we give ourselves to each other, there is going to be a life that goes so far beyond our even thoughts. Paul wasn't in making money. 1 Corinthians 10:34 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another wealth. In other words, he didn't, if a man wants to go after wealth, let him. You don't need it. You know, Paul didn't desire another man's living or stuff. He didn't desire that. Where he was at, he was content. And you know, I've been in homes that were just fabulous, and I think, yeah, that's nice, you know. But did I ever want it? No. You know, I'm pretty satisfied with, I like to say not much, because I got a lot of junk, you know. I got a lot of junk, and I'm satisfied with my junk. I'm just not as satisfied with my wife's junk. Stuff. Well, you know what I mean. I'm satisfied with my wife. Don't get me wrong. Oh. Anyway, we better go on. I didn't come out right. You know, when it goes in your head, it sounds pretty good till it comes out. And I love my wife. I don't like stepping on her stuff. Anyway, Paul didn't serve the Lord that it was fun, because it was anything but fun. Romans 15:3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but, there again, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And it wasn't about personal pleasure, but there's something pleasurable about these things, about giving yourself to the Lord. And yesterday, there's times that, man, the end of the day, like an end of a Sunday, I am exhausted. But I start thinking, man, I should have said this, and I should have not said that. And I could have done so much better, but there's something satisfying to be in God's house and with God's people. I like being with you folks. Believe it or not, I like it. And it's a good thing. He wasn't pressured by anyone to serve. It wasn't about peer pressure with Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, and I might gain the more. He wanted to serve others. There's a story of an old missionary. I remember, and I was going over my notes, and I remember this illustration. It was about this man and wife, the husband and wife. They were coming back from Africa. They'd been missionaries over there for decades, and their health was going downhill, and they had to come back and settle down. Well, when they were coming back, they were on the same ship as Teddy Roosevelt. He was coming back from a big hunt in Africa, you know. And so they were coming up to the pier in New York, and then there were bands, there were people and banners and bands that were playing and all this stuff. And this old missionary, he was looking at all this, and he says, just think. He says, they have all this stuff for a man who went over and shot some animals, and they celebrate him. And he was thinking about that, and he and his wife got off the ship and kind of settled into a hotel room. And it kind of frosted him, you know, a little bit, that he spent all that time over there and nobody met them at the pier. They just showed up alone and got off. And that night, before they were going to go to sleep, he gets down next to the bed and he prays and he talks to the Lord about what was going on and how is it that everybody celebrates a man killing some animals, but we were over there all that time. And the Lord spoke to his heart, and he says, you're not home yet, my son, for this is not your home. And he goes, you're right. This isn't my home. My home is in heaven. And you know, because we're passing through, and we're not on this earth. I mean, we are here just a drop in a bucket. And you start thinking about that, you think, well, then what is my life? Well, your life is Christ. I pray that that's true. Last week we looked at a thankful heart. A thankful heart. One who serves from the Spirit and is thankful for God for all that He has done within and without, and how Lord has blessed us. Number two, it was a concerned spirit. Man's prayer for make prayer for them and those that don't know Jesus Christ, and those that were under pressure in Rome, and how many people could be reached. And then there was a willing spirit in verse 10 that he would pray himself into their midst. He would pray for them, and he would get himself in the midst of these people and people he knew by name and maybe never met them, but would pray himself in their midst. And Paul was a volunteer. He was the first one to raise his hand to say, there's some things that need to be done. I'll do it, you know. And not a lot of people are volunteers. And sometimes you'll end up volunteering stuff and may not turn out to be the best job you ever had, but you know something? It was satisfying. William Carey in 1793 says, as he was departing to India, a friend asked, are you sure you want to go through with this? Where Carey responded, he says, I will go down to the pit itself if you'll hold the rope. See, it was something like we were talking about Sunday school. A missionary never goes alone. We are the ones that hold the rope for them so that they can be there. So they can focus their attention on what they're supposed to do. I mean, you don't expect them to go over there and live in with next to nothing. You know, and there's a lot of people that think that if you're going to be in the ministry, you should not even be paid. Oh my goodness, I remember I had to buy a used car, had to get another car. Oh my goodness, it was like, boy, it sure must be nice to be able to buy a nice car. Well, I had to turn in two junkers so I could get one decent car that ran, you know. And in fact, when I brought those two cars in, the guy gave me, what was it, I think $1,000 each or something. He never saw them. And when he brought them in, he goes, oh, no. He says, I'm going to be in trouble with my people. He goes, those things are junk. I said, but I drove them in, you know. I would drive them like that. And I had two cars because one would break down, the other one was there, and while that was driving, I'd fix this thing. And about the time I get that thing going, this thing would break down so I could drive the other one and fix this one. I mean, it was a terrible thing. But we got around. And the fact of the matter is, I was glad that I had a car. And John Payton, he went to New Hebrides. He went down to the islands where there were cannibals. And he went in there and said, people are going like, why are you getting, they're going to eat you. He says, well, by the grace of God, they won't. And when people came to that island years later, they weren't cannibals. They were Christian. And they welcomed people, not to eat them, but to eat with them. You know, that's what God does. So number four, we're going to look at a submissive spirit. Look in verse 10. It says, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. By the will of God. Be an instrument of God's will. How does that work? To be an instrument of God's will. Here's how it works. Give up your will to Him. That sounds easy. It just rolls off the tongue. Give your will to His will. Oh, it just goes right, and it just smooth and nice. But I tell you, it's going to be the toughest thing you ever did because we are a willful people. In Romans 15:32, it says that I may not come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Jesus Christ, He says, not my will, but thine will. He says, that if I come to you, it's by God's will. Jesus Christ was in the garden and He was talking to the Father and He would get to the point and say, but let it not be my will, let it be thine will. Whatever needs to be done, I'll go through with it. You know, we are to be conformed to His will as time progresses. And it will not be such a greater fight unless we've always been a willful people and a willful individual, and we're always trying to press our will on other people and even God. It was said by a minister, a missionary in India, the new converts were ready to die for their newfound Savior. Because the Hindus and the Sikhs, let me tell you something, when they would get saved over there, and even today it's starting back up, they're throughout the world, there is hostility towards Christianity today. It calmed down for a bit, but it's starting to come back up. And the Hindus and the Sikhs and even the Buddhists, as peaceful they say that they are, man, they hate Christians. They hate them. And they will go and wipe them out. But the preacher who was there, who was training these people, their new converts, to try to live for Christ, to live for them. Where here in the United States, we have to teach you to die for Christ because we like to live for ourselves. And we do. We are, like I say, we're willful. We live for ourselves and we want God to bless what we do instead of asking what He wants from us. And it's true. And it's hard. It's not easy. Demonstrated by Agabus on Paul, warning him in the book of James chapter 4. Let me jump back there in James chapter 4. Right here. James 4. In verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Vanisheth away. Submit to God's will. Paul was resigned to God's will. We don't have long on this earth. We don't. You know, as a young man, you think, man, we got my life so far, you know, so much ahead of us. And before you know it, most of your life is behind you. And I'm going like, whoa, what happened? It was like a blink and the time was gone. But submit to God's will. Not many, if any, will ever have to go through what Paul ever did. Certainly, I've never gone through what Paul did. Nobody had beat me down with sticks. I've never stoned unto death. I thank God I never shipwrecked. You know, I mean, it was always kind of on my mind. You know, when I was on board ship, I always wanted to make sure I knew where all the life jackets were. You know, I wanted to make sure. I said, these things work. When I pull this, we'll have, you know, 300 life jackets come out. I'm taking 10 of them. You know, I'm going to put them over my arms, my head, my legs. I am not sinking. And if something wants to come up and bite me, they're going to get a mouthful of cotton or whatever's in it, you know. I don't want to be eaten by what's in there. But he went in there, got bitten by snakes. I mean, this guy went through it. None of that stuff ever happened. How many of that's happened to you? None of us. Paul was not fatalistic, but he was realistic. We've got to get to the point that we're realistic about our lives and who Jesus Christ is. Someone wrote an illustration of harmony and joy. Now, I don't know if I was going to talk about this, but it talks about submission and cooperation with God. And the illustration comes where a man, he loved violin music. Okay? He didn't know how to play the violin. He knew a little bit about music, but this man, he loved it so much, he went and bought himself a violin. And then he went and bought himself scores and scores of music. You know, long hair music. You know, classic music. And then he went and bought himself like a phonograph or a radio, great speakers and this kind of thing. And he would put on the Philadelphia Philharmonic or this kind of thing, and he would get the music out that they were going to play, and he'd get up there, and he got that thing ready, and they'd start playing. He'd be looking at the music, and he'd start screeching that thing out. Sheesh, screech, screech, and he was trying to learn this stuff. And it was just chaos in the room. Here you had this beautiful music coming at him. He was looking at the music and trying to go through this violin. Well, after time, it didn't sound like chaos in his room. He'd put on, Bach, And he'd get balked out and what they were going to look at, and he would start going through it and play right along with it, and it was harmony. But you know, you can get Tchaikovsky and then play Brahms at the same time, and what do you have? Chaos. But you know, it comes with God too. When you have God's will, and we want to do what's our will, you're going to have chaos. God's will is perfect. And say, well, what about our life and our living in our homes? Listen, if you would allow God in those closed doors and in our closed hearts, you are going to start experiencing harmony. But when we start doing whatever we want to do, listen, you have your children, what they want to do, and then you have what you want to do. No harmony there until you tell your children, you come along with us. Now, we take our kids fishing, or we take them down to the beach, you know, and man, everything was great. As long as we had food when they were hungry, they'd come back, eat, and they were gone again. Happy as clams. Sometimes we'd catch crabs and cook them right there. Happy as crabs. Eating on a cold day. It's good. There's harmony when wills are together as we see what God has for us. Prayer is learning to play the same tune. If we don't pray, we'll not know how to play what God has for us to play. Then there's chaos. But when we are out of tune, we're a mess. We're a mess. We are a mess. God knows we're a mess. We are such a mess that God sent His only begotten Son to straighten us up. And how is it He straightens us up? By giving us Him. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He lives within us. He starts to teach us. He starts taking the Word of God and bringing us to a point that we are more and more and more in harmony with the Lord and His will. And when that happens, there's not a fight with God. The guilt is not there. It goes away. He wants us to be content in our life. But you're not going to be content without Him. Say, but I'm saved, but I don't have that contentment. Okay, is that God's fault? No. It is. It's ours. We're a mess. Paul sought the advance of God's glory through God's kingdom, through God's will. When it comes to our Lord, it does not mean that we do not exercise reason. It does mean that we exercise reason in submission to reason incarnate. You get that? See, when we get with God and God deal, when He reasons with us, He reasons right. He reasons holy. He reasons properly because He is perfect in every way. We need to be careful to seek our own fame, you know? So we looked at a thankful spirit, concerned spirit, willing spirit, submissive spirit, but what of a loving spirit? Look in verse 11. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. It's not some personal gratification with Paul. It's something he wanted to give them. He would have probably found out that he would have walked away with something. Listen. When you get with someone and you want to impart something to someone, someone always imparts something to you. They always do. What does love do? You know what love does? Gives. For God so loved the world, He what? He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the Son of God, His Son, because He loves us. He loves us. Paul is not coming to take take in the sights or watch the chariot races. He had something else in mind. Do you ever wonder if what you do really matters? Do you ever get to the point and say, does it really matter what I do? Or that what you say, does it get through? Whether it is appreciated or just taken for granted or being taken advantage of. You know, people will come and take advantage of you. You know, that's their problem. Do you realize that? That's their problem. And people that take advantage of other people, that's their problem. It's wrong. But you know, what a person sows, they don't realize how far down the road it's going to bite them, you know. And why do we do the things that we do for our own satisfaction and our own gratification? And do we help, or are we doing this thing that we do for God out of our own desire? You know, that's why there's just unhappy Christians. I mean, Christians that are just angry. You say, well, you know, it's we got to do some cleanup, and end up going into the bathrooms, you know, the restrooms, and they need to be cleaned. And why do I have to clean them? Well, why not? They're God's, right? Shouldn't they be done the best they could be done? I think so. That's what I believed every time I ever did the bathrooms. I made sure that they were spick and span. I didn't want that smell in there. I wanted it gone. I wouldn't hide it by throwing pine salt around. I'd try to scrub it away, right? Why? This is God's bathroom, you know? And we say, well, what if Jesus ever came and would come and use the bathroom? And we go, ho, 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 like that's never going to happen. One day it will. He was here before. He had to use bathroom somewhere. And you know something? I know he'll do it again because he was here before. And you think, well, that's a dumb thing to talk about. I'm just saying this is our attitude. Why is that up to me? Why not me? Why not? I desire to see spiritual growth and people not falling back or away. You know, I wonder about, you know, you see people, oh, he got saved, but you never saw anything. So, well, he's just backsliding. When was there ever a time that he wasn't backsliding? Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I raised my children to not to be dependent upon their mother and me. You raised those children so they could mature on their own when they got out of the house. They could take care of themselves and to make their way and pray that they would do better than their mother and father. To see Christians to mature and to deal spiritually with what comes, Christians, on their own. But it pains me when I see people simply make decisions for their own will and don't care about anybody else. It pains me. I mean, it hurts to see what goes on with Christians. And, I mean, I'm not saying I ever did anything dumb. I did something dumb this morning. Really dumb. Right in front of everybody, in front of my wife, you know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me go there for a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth. But we were gentle. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth. Why am I having a tough time with that word? Cherisheth. her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. That word cherisheth. It means this, body heat. It means that it gives the idea of a baby that's against a mother's breast. Skin on skin to make sure that there's warmth, that there is something transferred between the two. Say you have someone who's cold and you bring them in and you let your warmth to be transferred to them. This is intimate. This is what God is about. He wants to be intimate with you to where things are penetrated into us because of the closeness we have with God Himself who lives within us. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. And 2 Corinthians 12:15, it says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." You know what that means? The more you hate me, I'm going to love you more. The more you have a problem with me, I'm going to love you more. You know, when we don't do what God wants us to do, He loves us more. He gives and gives and gives again. You know, we kick Him away. We don't listen to Him. He'll convict our hearts and we'll say, "Not now." You know what that really means? Not ever. We just don't say not now. We're saying not ever because we want to forget about it. Paul desires to impart some spiritual gift. The word charisma means grace, the gift of grace. And it's not his grace, but God's grace, the source of the Holy Spirit. Paul was not about entertaining people, but to impart Jesus Christ, and not superficiality type stuff, but stuff with depth. You know, when I first got saved, I did not want to bother my pastor. You know, I didn't want to bother him. He's too busy. He's got so much other stuff to do. And I had it all wrong. I had so many questions. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything. So I started going to Bible Institute. But I didn't realize I had a pastor who was just waiting for questions. Now, and if I did have a question, I'd say, "Pastor, man, I have a problem with this." And the first thing he would do is sit down. He'd say, "Let's look at it." And he'd go through it and he would be excited about it. But it's because he's sharing something that I don't know that he does. And it's funny, that excitement was just kind of transferred to me. I went, "That's good. Now I got it. Thank you." That stuff is, I guess it's not supposed to be fun, but I find it enjoyable. A Christian that doesn't know anything are a blessing to Christians. I love to sit down and talk with people because there's always something you can impart to somebody else. They listen to you and you come up with stuff that I didn't know. And I think, what a blessing, My problem is if I just quit talking and listen to you, My wife will say, "Now, don't do all the talking." Faithful spirit, a concerned spirit, a willing spirit, submissive spirit, loving spirit, and a humble spirit. Look in verse 11 and 12. We'll read this again. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." That is, "that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." He says, man, it is good to get together because we have something in common. And I'm telling you, you can go anywhere in the world and there's a born-again Christian, you got something that you can get together and impart with each other. And it is a blessing. Be comforted together because of the mutual faith. We can exhort and encourage and comfort each other. Calvin wrote this, John Calvin. He says, note to what degree of modesty his pious heart submitted of itself, so that he did not disdain to seek strength from inexperienced beginners. He means that he says too, for there is no one so void of gifts in the church of Christ who is unable to contribute something to our benefit. All will and pride, however, prevent our deriving such fruit from one another. See, pride just kills it. When someone comes up and he's so prideful about this, that, or the other, it kind of ruins stuff, you know. New believers are just new believers. I mean, they're real. Real. You just love people that are real and they do and say dumb things. I appreciate so many of you. You have no idea. My wife and I do appreciate so many of you. We don't get around to say it enough. Paul, probably the greatest theologian who ever lived beside Jesus Christ, he was a humble man. Jesus Christ was the epitome of humility. We need to consider the others. According to 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 11, consider the needs of others more than ourselves. This is what we're talking about. This is what service is. Service is from the heart. Service is giving. Is giving of ourselves through God's will. He gave everything. He gave His last ounce of devotion to His Father. His Father willed the Son where we got the benefits. He took our punishment. He took our sin. And He gave us His grace. You get it? We'll never have to experience the loneliness when death comes. We will never have to experience that hopelessness when death comes. Because Jesus Christ is hope. And He lives within. You know, we have to consider and to check ourselves. Are we really thankful? Well, number one, are you even saved? Do you know Jesus? I'm not saying, yeah, I believe about Him. I believe that He existed. But I mean, believe to the point that I repent of what I do and trust completely in the cross of Jesus Christ. And just be thankful for what He's done. Grateful. And concerned for others. I mean, we should be concerned for our family and our friends. And are we willing? If not, ask God to make you willing. And to be submissive. Now, I know that is a hard, hard word. We're submissive to God. We're submissive to those who have the master over us. And what you do for them, you do as you do for the Lord. And let me tell you something. They will be grateful. Are you loving? Are you loving to the unlovable? If you find someone, you just, man, I'm having a tough time. You know, I've been praying that God would, I'm asking God to just give me more love for others. And He brought this guy in who just, I just want to poke his eyes, you know? No, He's there for you. You ask God to help you to learn how to love. Well, that's who He is. He's a gift from God. And you come up to Him, you know that I prayed, God gave me you. And you go like, you're nuts. I probably am. But I'm going to try to love you anyway. And if I can't, maybe God can love you through me. And humble, humility. These are things to pray about. These are things to, for us to really think about what it is for the grace of God, the activity of God within us, and working them out into our life. That's what it is to serve God. Isn't that good? It's all right there. This is what God's telling us. Are you saved?